podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Boxing on Channel 5. Defending his name, his legacy. Harlem Eubank. Battling his way up the super lightweight rankings. Can he remain undefeated? Big Fight Live, Eubank versus Urusquieta, Friday at 10 on Channel 5.
Razaban IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. Delighted to have with me none other than South London's finest, Huzaifa Iqbal. Huzaifa, it's been a while since I've got you on camera. Firstly, how are things?
Very good. I like South London's finest. I really like that. Can you keep that? Huzaifa Iqbal, South London's finest.
Yeah, I can keep that. Not sure about the colours, but I can certainly keep the title.
We're purple.
How's things?
Yeah, very good. Alhamdulillah, very good. No complaints. Been busy. Very busy. And it's good, man. I've started the year with my first intro to Misfits, and it was a good experience, a massive experience with Swarms. So it's been good. Good start to the year. Looking forward to Mixed World Championship fight. Shannon's got a World Championship fight this year, inshallah. Kurt Walker's got some good stuff happening for him, so it's inshallah going to be a good year.
We'll come over to the Misfit stuff. Adam Booth's gym, as it's known as, is always buzzing. Got some great fighters in there. Mick Conlon, Josh Kelly, Harlem Eubank, Shannon Courtney as well. So just explain kind of who you closely working with. I know you're in the corner most of the time with most fighters, but who is it that you're currently, you know, paying more attention to?
Mainly Shannon and Kurt at the moment. I like having that one-to-one time with the fighters. I suppose you build that connection with them, build a good strong bond with making some good work come of them, and I suppose that's the part of my build-up as on my journey and as myself as a coach. But the gym's buzzing. It's amazing seeing the others work as well. And it's a lovely place to be.
I just wanted to quickly speak about Josh Kelly. Obviously went through, you know, difficult times, if I can put it that way, after his loss to Avanesian. He bounced back very well. A lot of people thought Troy would beat him. He beats Troy. Is it just satisfying to see that the guy that everyone talked about and the hype around Josh Kelly at the time, where even Adam Booth said he'll put him in with Errol Spence tomorrow if he could, it's good to see him in good spirits and just back in the gym and fighting again?
100%. I think brother Adam's the best person, obviously, to answer on the subject of Josh and them guys. But one thing about him and the whole stable is that we haven't doubted Josh for a split second. And alhamdulillah, I appreciate brother Azgi as well, because I remember being in Birmingham on the table with at least about 30-odd guys and many a times where it's like, don't sleep on Josh Kelly, because when Josh turns up, you're going to be, I've said this before, you're going to be in for a massive surprise when you see Josh. And Troy being the type of fighter he is, in that pressure fighter, and he brings smoke. I've had Josh dealt with it in class. And that's the Josh that we, and I still say that weren't even, I don't mean this in a rude way, I don't even think that was 50% of Josh that we've seen sometimes in the gym, in all honesty. So I'd love to see him at 100%, and it'll be a show for everyone. Do you know what I mean? I remember, recently Floyd put out that post talking about Nassim. He goes, the British people have never given Nassim his full credit, right? And for me personally, when I think about who is out there that can move like that, that can entertain like that, that would bring that type of entertainment and movement to boxing, Josh is the only one that comes to my head, man.
Mick Conlon, hell of a fight of the year with Lee Wood last year, comes back with a win. Looks like he's on the verge of a world title show. Looks like it's going to be Lopez. I believe it's announced imminently. It's going to be announced now. So is he ready for that Lopez? Everyone thought that he might go back in Leeward and try to avenge that. Is it the right thing for Mick to do? Is go win the world title and maybe revisit that Leeward fight down the line?
I think it's their side that don't want the fight. Mick, mashallah, Mick's game, man. Mick's consistent, he's dedicated, and if he wants something, he's going to keep on going and getting it. Like I said, I've always felt a very, very strong connection with Mick. just because I feel like he's all of them are real, but I'm saying that he's a very real grounded guy. When I see him work, he works at 120%. Are you with me? He's game. Inshallah, I think he stops Lopez. I think he stops anyone in front of him. I think he stops. Like I said, the whole Lee Wood fight was, he fully rinsed out the nitrous early. Do you know what I mean? He fully rinsed out the nitrous early, and even then he was still in there from early all the way to the end. But it's boxing. It's one punch. One punch can change the game, man. And but look at him. I look at him. He's a true champion. The way he's come back, the way he's back in the gym, the way he approached the last fight. You know what I mean? He's a true champion.
How have you found the transition as a coach from training someone who can throw 8, 9, 10 punch combinations to someone who can barely throw 2 or 3 punch combinations? No disrespect to these guys that go on misfits, but I've seen some of them on the pads. It's like, wow. Yeah. So how have you managed to kind of mentally train yourself to adapt to their weaknesses and major weaknesses of not being able to hit the pads, for example, like the pros would?
You know what it is? I think I separate myself, like, on a mindset, I separate and I say, look, this is not professional boxing. So, and that's a very deep question, because that is something that I always have to check myself. So it's like, if I've done a session and I wouldn't study misfit fighters. But coming from a white-collar background once upon a time myself, right, if they're two-minute rounds or they're only three, four rounds, right, yeah, there's going to be skill aspects to it, right, and there's going to be moments and glances of who looks good and who's got the head movement and who throws a nice, beautiful jab and beautiful shots, but really it's a race, you know what I mean? So it's like, get them as fit as you can, make them punch as hard as they can, and throw punches in bunches, and you know what I mean, add a little bit of finesse to it and get that win. But I enjoy the misfits. Like, I remember once upon a time proper cursing off the whole Freddie Flintoff situation, because in all honesty, if everyone thinks back, right, that's what opened up the doors. I had this conversation with Steve Bunce, actually. I saw Steve Bunce over at Swamzi's public workout, right, and wallahi, I couldn't believe I see Steve Bunce there. So when I see Steve Bunce there, I'm like, Steve goes, oh, what are you doing here? I'm like, no, what are you doing here? Like, oh, you got Steve Bunce. I used to watch him from Satanta Sport and all the rest of it. And he was like, listen, when people sign fight, this is exactly what he said. He goes, when people sign 5-year deals, he goes, you better pay attention, because they're here to stay and they're clearly doing something right. And I'm grateful that, alhamdulillah, I've got my foot in that door. That's a massive shout-out to Bouncer as well, because he's realistically done that. When I first met some of the fighters that I'm working with, I was like, I want nothing to do with this. This is bad. Like, this is badder than bad. And it's rewarding, bro. When you see the transition of someone, when you take someone who was just thrown in boxing and really they don't want to do it, but now they love the sport, right? I wish something like this was around in my time, do you know what I mean? But I've been doing it for some time now, like all with the wicked and bad stuff with Bouncer, Little Man, all of it. So, alhamdulillah, what I will do is I'll go home, make sure that I watch some pro fights to reset myself for the morning before I go and approach the pro fighters.
Yeah, I hope you do. I hope you do. Swams, you mentioned him, obviously a big fight for him. Who's fighting KSI's brother in Deji. Deji's, you know, been in the ring with Floyd Mayweather very recently in Dubai as well. So how confident are you about Swams getting in there with someone like Deji?
Yeah, inshallah. I think everyone said about the Taylor fight as well. Ryan Taylor was this kid. I don't know, and I mean this respectfully, I don't know any of them. Wallahi, I don't know any of them. So can you imagine me having to go on YouTube now, type in their names and get a good prejudgment of what I think, what they're like, what their fighting types can be like, and all the rest of it. But it's nice, isn't it? It was Bernard Hopkins once upon a time. He said in an interview, he goes, I like the naysayers. And he said it to Larry. He goes, Larry, I can't do it without the naysayers. So I don't mind it. I've heard Taylor was going to smash Swams. And look what happened. One punch off the line, boop, done the eye shot, yeah? And then now it's Deji, I hear. Obviously, he's very experienced. He's when I say very experienced, he's invested a lot of money in being in the gym, mixing it with Floyd on whatever level, yeah, but he has the right to have that confidence and more confidence than Swams. I have a game plan, inshallah, it gets executed, and I'll enjoy the show and enjoy getting a victory on the night.
So are there more fighters of that type that are now coming to you and say, can you train us as well? We want to get involved in this new phenomenon of misfits.
Yes. There's, I think what's happened, right, is other industries, as far as like the music industry, YouTubers, and all of these guys are now getting in contact to be like, listen, we want in. We want in. And I think a massive shout out to Mams Taylor, the Saulon brothers, people like Bouncer, who have opened up that platform, and they're doing the right job of trying to reach out to these guys and get hold of them. They're tapping into every type of industry, really, especially the music industry. But I'm getting that where it's like, will you train this person? Will you train that person? And it's like, well, let's look how bad the job is. And look, being honest with you, if it financially makes sense, then why not? I know Border Control have recently come to terms with it as well. They've recently come to terms of accepting pro coaches doing that with a settlement with them. So I like it. I enjoy it. And I don't mind entertaining it.
Well, we look forward to the... look forward to the Misfit Cars on May 13th, which is headlined by Kesan. I'm sure his opponent's going to be announced soon. Just moving back to pro boxing, Shannon Courtney, I know she had an injury, on the mend, had a fight. Rumours are her and Nina Hughes around June 10th time is a date that I'm hearing. Can you give us any indication if that's going to happen, if Nina Hughes is going to be next?
Yeah, that's right. I got a text from Shannon the other day, and Adam saying that Nina Hughes is what we're looking at next. Shannon will be ready, inshallah. She's been grafting. She's been grafting over in Dubai and enjoying some time off, which is good. Just gives her a nice little reset, are you with me? And there's never a time that Shannon's not been ready. So when she's back in camp, she'll be ready again, and we'll go from there.
We know Ebony Bridges is also another champion in the division, and there was talks about that rematch. So is that one eye on beat Nina, get the belt, and go for a unification?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I think I've always rated Mark Tibbs and seen what job he's done with Ebony, and I think he's done an amazing job with Ebony. She's changed stylistically in the last couple of fights, and she's looking really good. But again, this is boxing, and styles make fights. I think Shannon's got the style for everyone.
I'm sure you were with Josh Kelly when he lost against Avanesian, and through the trials that he was going through the trials that Mick was going through after his loss to Lee Wood. Another man went through a lot of trials is Anthony Joshua. Back-to-back defeats to Usyk. He now has his third coach in the same number of fights, three fights, three coaches. Against Jermaine Franklin, and we've seen Jermaine in the UK, gave Dillian Whyte a hell of a fight. Some people thought he may have nicked it. How much pressure is there on Anthony Joshua's shoulder? Because this is without doubt a must-win situation for him.
I think he does win. I think he does win. And I think him knowing that the public eye looks at him maybe in that manner, I think you don't know what's going to trigger someone's mindset. Do you know what I mean? You don't know what's going to trigger someone's mindset. People's mindsets, especially fighters, are different, right? Some people feed off the naysayers, yeah. Some people need a reality check. So it's like you, and like I said, it's different, isn't it? When for Joshua, it was now dealing with the Ukrainians, dealing with these guys who maybe got put into boxing when they were like 4 years old. Are you with me? Their muscle fibers are built different. Right, they've trained their muscle fibers differently. They've been drilling styles and a lot more experience, basically, compared to so many. You jump in the ring with someone like that. I remember watching Loma versus Linares, right? And we was ringside. This was after one of Mick's fight. I was sitting next to brother Adam. My eyes couldn't keep up, bro. I felt like I was flickering. Yeah? My eyes couldn't keep up with what Loma was doing. Do you know what I mean? And how do you deal with that sometimes? Like, even trying to teach fighters that, you have to drill those things again and again and again and again for them to naturally put that into play. And seeing that, right, was amazing. So you can imagine being a fighter in that situation. You doubt so many things, so many doubts going through your head. But I think you need the right people around you. You need the right environment. So I don't cuss him for going from one environment to the other. What happens when he finds the right environment? What happens when Anthony Joshua finds the right environment and he figures out the true him and the good him and comes for everything, or he realizes that, you know what, maybe he wants to pack it in. We don't know.
We look forward to it. Only a week or so away now, Anthony Joshua returns back to the O2 Arena, a place where he hasn't fought for a long time. Josefa, appreciate giving me a little bit of your time. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we end?
Thank you for having me, Raza. Honestly, massive, massive shout out to you. Thank you. Big up, Peercom International. We're at the actual office today now, so big up, Peercom International, New Era Metals, Zen Lounge. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, I echo that. Obviously, we needed a place to do an interview, so Peercom International let us in and let us do this here. So, yeah, appreciate them. Thank you, Josefa, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you very, very soon.
Thank you very much.
Josefa Iqbal, IFL TV, thank you very much.
17, win it, they're Gilbrins. Right, the bouncer's Gilbrins.
This is no good for me. That's the reality. If you want the honest truth, and I see it every day.
Podcast Network.